For all your inside backstage information, listen to Access Popular.
Welcome back to Access Bodybuilding with me, Aaron Stegerman, my co-host, IFBB Bikini Pro, Christina Liberatore. Christina, what's in the news for this week?
The newest IFBB face of MAC makeup, results of the Masters Olympia, Ronnie Coleman's Masters Olympia seminar story retold, Arnold Light lineup looking pretty bare, MD editor-in-chief position is wide open, and Bros vs. Pros weekend, all this week on Access Bodybuilding.
All right, Christina, this is one of those weeks in bodybuilding where, you know, not a lot has happened. The contest season is now officially over, and it becomes time when you and I and Access Bodybuilding start to really seek out stories. So this week we ran into a bunch of pretty decent ones, and we'll start off with the MAC makeup one. Go ahead, Christina.
Yes, this is pretty cool. You know, we chatted about this on Muscle Girls Inc. this week. There is, if anybody knows, IFBB figure pro Yelena Abu. She's a Serbian girl. She's, you know, here in the States. However, probably, I mean, before we get into the story, probably one of the, I'll say, top three hottest pros out there. Do you agree?
Yes, facially. There's not a lot of girls that are, I mean, she's, well, obviously, because she, what you're about to talk about, she is mainstream good looking. You know, she is pretty classically beautiful in the face with a little tinge of kind of exotic. And yeah. They're not a lot of better looking girls in the industry than Yelena Abu.
Yeah, and she's still very, very feminine. She started out in bikini. It was always, you know, pretty ripped and pretty shredded. She made the switch to figure. Definitely think that's the way to go. And it's funny. I think it was at the New York Pro when I saw her compete for the first time. I mean, the crowd, I mean, all the guys start talking about her being, like, super hot. Mm-hmm. So no doubt this is one girl that can definitely transition into mainstream media. And that's exactly what she's done. So MAC makeup, for those men who don't listen, MAC makeup is, you know, probably the biggest makeup line out there. And they are starting a new cosmetic campaign. And it's called the Strength Collection, right? And Yelena is now the face of this new ad campaign. And in this ad, you guys will have to check it out online. It is her with almost like a bodybuilder-esque pose. She's got, you know, one bicep going on one side. She's got the other arm kind of turned down and flexing the other way. She was about a week or so, a couple weeks out from the Arnold. So she's pretty lean. This was last year's Arnold, or this year's Arnold. Pretty lean, but not crazy shredded. And she's wearing like a black lacquer dress, which is the strap is very, very form-fitting. Kind of goes out as a ball gown at the rest. You can't see her legs, you know, or her hamstrings or anything. You can just see her upper body. And I got to say, I mean, this is probably one of the coolest things because they are talking about in their description, right, where it talks about, you know, what this whole campaign is supposed to be. I'll just read the beginning. It says, I am woman, fearless, elegant, strong. We love women who strike powerful poses, stand out, redefine the notion of beauty, do it all with inner and outer strength. It says here that color is a vehicle for women to flex their femininity, which I think is pretty cool. So she landed this ad campaign, which is going to end up in all of the MAC stores. I believe it will be available, the whole like line itself, the makeup itself will be available December 24th. And then in North America, here in the US, I'm on the 26th. So this is going to be huge. You're going to see Yelena Abu's photo and her sexy biceps like all over the world with this new ad campaign, which is huge, huge.
Well, I happen to know about MAC makeup because that's the one that Darielle likes. That's the more expensive, nicer makeup. So I hope that those people, you know, that since they're selling a lot of expensive makeup, hopefully Yelena got some of that that big money from them.
I think so. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about off the air, you know, some companies, they either pay you residuals every time an ad runs. Sometimes they pay you just for the photo shoot. Her makeup looks great in this. And the interesting thing is, too, I mean, for every competition, every big competition that's out there, everyone, you know, a lot of the girls all get their makeup professionally done by industry makeup artists, and just about all of them use MAC makeup. So I think this is great. I don't know. Some people, we talked about this on Muscle Girls too. I think she may come across as still a little too muscular for the average everyday woman. For us, this is pretty like sexy and mainstream in our industry. She's not very big. She's not like one of the thicker figure girls, but I still think maybe for mainstream people, they may be a little taken back and they may think she's a little too much. You've seen the pictures. I mean, what do you think?
You know, I think that, yeah, her arms, I mean, compared to a normal woman, like if my mom saw that, she'd be like, wow, she's buff. But the thing that, that may make it okay, I guess you would say, would be the fact that she is so pretty and feminine in the face. It's hard to look at her in that dress or her face with the makeup and everything and think like this is like, you know, what they would, I guess most people would normally think it thinks too muscular or manly.
Yes,
you
masculine,
know,
yeah.
Masculine, yeah. So it's hard to look at her in that pose other than the flexing biceps and think manly, to me anyway. We'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I agree. That's why we were talking on the show too about, you know, if they're going to pick anyone, this is the girl to pick because her facially, she has strong features regardless because of the Eastern European look, but she's still very feminine and that at least allows her to, you know, market to the normal everyday people that says, you know, hey, if I have muscle, doesn't mean I look like a man. So congratulations to Yelena. This is a huge, huge, huge thing. And man, I need to go talk to like, you know, Nike and all these other mainstream companies to try to get a gig. This is huge for her.
Absolutely. I always, whenever, you know, whenever you mention stuff like that, the only person I can think of that has any kind of mainstream contract is Jose Raymond, who's got the Reebok shoe and clothes deal. But all he's getting is, not that this is a bad thing, but all he's getting from them at this point is shoes product. And clothes product. Yeah. But yeah, I always think that, like, I always think that you would think that looking at our girls, especially our girls in our industry, that you would see more of them doing some mainstream stuff for like Nike and, you know, Reebok and clothing companies. Because, you know, it seems to me like a lot of the faces and bodies would be something that they would want to portray. Even though they may not be the most athletic people in the world, they still look like it, you know?
Sure. I think this might inspire a lot more people in the industry, including, I mean, men's physique guys. Yeah. I mean, these guys who can be, you know, normal everyday guys. I think this may kind of kick everyone in the ass a little bit to say, hey, you guys can actually do more than just fitness stuff. So,
all right, let's talk just for a moment about the results of the Masters Olympia, which was held in Miami at the Fillmore Jackie Gleason Theater again. I'm going to tell the results and then we'll talk about the show just for a second. No surprise. I guess really the results first and second were no surprise. Dexter Jackson being fourth at the Olympia. He is the only top six guy here at this show. He gets first place. Tony Freeman, not as good as we were hoping. Probably one of the least good Tony Freeman's, least conditioned Tony Freeman's of the eight times he's been stepped on stage in 2012. The surprise was Dennis James. And we talked about Dennis. And I have a feeling that Dennis listened to the show and was none too pleased with me about my prediction of him.
But he was very pleased with me because I did have him up there in the top three.
Yes,
so my predictions were correct, actually.
Did you hear from him or are you just assuming he's pleased?
No, I think Michael had talked to him. We've been kind of busy with this move and everything, but either way, if he was displeased with yours.
Oh yeah, he was definitely displeased. You could tell him. He didn't even talk to me at the show. So he definitely, Dennis is one of those people don't realize. And this is one of the reasons I like Dennis so much, is of the top bodybuilders, there's nobody who follows the sport of bodybuilding closer than Dennis James. So I can guarantee you that Dennis reads every board, listens to all the radio shows, because this is his life. And so that's what I love about Dennis, that he's a true fan. Unfortunately, you know, Dennis did not bring in the package that I was hoping to see him bring. You know, like I said, I was rooting for him, and I'm happy he got third. But I don't think that being there, seeing it, I still don't think that he brought a package that should have been in third place.
I disagree with you, but fair enough. I mean, I wasn't at the show, so I obviously didn't see anything in person. But I thought that he definitely deserved to be up there. No doubt.
Okay. All right. I love you, Dennis.
Since you weren't there, I'm on your side.
Because you're just rooting for approval from Dennis James, but that's okay.
Exactly.
He definitely likes you better than me now, so that's totally. For sure. Anyway, so in fourth place, I call Ed the most underrated pro bodybuilder, men's pro bodybuilder we got in bodybuilding these days. And Ed brought in my mind, his best package ever, bringing in a fuller, bigger package. You know, he wasn't as sharp as usual, but in this lineup, it was perfect because the only person that was any sharper than him really was Dexter Jackson. So Ed Nunn gets fourth, which in a way is still not bad for Ed because he usually gets shit on and is placed really far in the back. So fourth and bad, it's still in the money. Ronnie Raquel in fifth place did not look good from the back. Oof, not good. I would have had him out of there too.
He was in my top five or six.
You did a lot better than me in this.
Yeah.
You definitely won this this booby prize.
Thank
for
you.
The show for here. Michael Kefalianos in sixth place. He was, other than Dexter, he was probably the most ripped guy in the show. And I shot a video with him the 2 days after the show, workout video, super nice guy. I think that he probably could have done a little better, but the guy that I was most most surprised and impressed with was seventh place Darum Charles, who really, really surprised me. You know, I thought that he could be good, but because I see him at the gym every day, but he keeps covered up, and I didn't know that he would be as good as he was. He wasn't full. He was almost as good as he's ever been. He had a few little weak parts, like his back was still a little behind, and his legs were a little small. But he had some crazy lines, and he had the best routine of anybody of the whole year of 2012 at any show. I loved his routine. So big props to Darum Charles.
Were you surprised? I mean, I know we're going down, but, you know, Troy Alves taking ninth. Were you surprised that he, you know, kind of placed so low there? Or was be expected once you saw the lineup?
No, I was surprised also. I mean, Troy looked really good. I mean, this isn't the best Troy Alves ever. His glutes weren't 100% in. But he was pretty damn good. And Chris Aceto really pulled it out with him and brought a really, really solid Troy Alves. And I would have thought that he would have been higher. I mean, if you look at the lineup, it's easy to put these guys in such different order. I mean, to be honest with you, I would have had Troy Alves in front of probably in front of Dennis James, in front of Ronnie Raquel. He would have been probably fifth on my list.
Okay.
Yeah, I was surprised. There's a lot of good competitors. I mean, Drew Jemmett looked great. He was in 10th place, the best Drew Jemmett ever. His legs were a little skinny, but I was impressed. Tricky Jackson came in peeled. You know, his glutes were in. His back looked great. He was in great shape, but he's too small. You know, 11th place. It's a lot of really good guys. I was impressed with a lot of them.
I know what the prize money was for first place, but do you know what the prize money was for, like, first through fifth or sixth? Exact numbers were?
It's an interesting thing with prize money. So it started out as $100,000. For first place, and somehow between me getting there and the show, it changed to $75,000. Okay. And so all of the prizes below first place, I believe also changed. So I think that all the prize money, and now I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure that second through fifth all got cut in half. So I don't know. I don't know exactly, and I don't know what the story is with that. I know that from what I understood, that money will get paid eventually or something. I'm not sure. It's one of these. Unfortunately, this is kind of what happened with Jarka and Masters World Championships last year. But in the end, everybody got paid. So I'm assuming that everybody will get their money again. I know there was no Darum Charles and Tricky Jackson were super upset because it was supposed to be $5,000 for best posing routine. And there was no money and no award given. So,
ooh, and usually that's what Tricky's betting on.
Yeah, Tricky. I mean, Tricky had a totally new routine. I don't know if you know, but I don't know if people out there know that Tricky has done the same routine all last year, basically, or maybe even the last 2 years. So for him to come up with a totally new redesigned routine with totally new music, I'm pretty sure he was betting on that $5,000.
I think he usually is. I think any show, I mean, not that he shouldn't have done the show, right? But I remember talking with him last year at the Olympia where, you know, he was saying that that's, you know, probably one of the main reasons why he was going to do Masters Olympia the last year. Because either way, you know, if he places well, I think at that point, I think top 12 or something got 5,000. And then if you were to win the Best Poser Award, you get another 5,000. So he's almost guaranteed a $10,000 paycheck, even if he doesn't place in the top 10. And he's a smaller guy, you know. Let's face it, he's 212, in the 212. And he's going up against guys like Tony Freeman and Ed Nunn, so he may not be up at the very top, but he's at least banking on that extra $5,000. So
that kind of sucks. I know that the Darum Charles was also counting on that. Like I said, Darum Charles routine. Dave Palumbo picked Tricky Jackson for the best routine. I picked Darum Charles. Two very different routines. You know, Darum didn't do his typical, like back in the day, pop and lock stuff or dancing like Tricky Jackson. He did like a really dramatic, almost like Kai Greene-esque, you know, with Dirty Diana, like the mid, or I guess it's the late 2000s, Kai Greene, 2007, 2008.
Okay, yeah.
I really loved his routine, but they got to be disappointed. On the other hand, the show itself was spectacular. I mean, she did another great job this year. From the Superstar Seminar, which we'll talk about in a minute, or it's actually the Legend Seminar, they call it, to the gala after, where we had, you know, drinks and steak, and you know, it was quite a meal, you know. So she went all out. I mean, she's no joke with the promoting. I mean, I feel like she really is aiming to impress, and And she really did. I mean, it was a very nice hotel. She paid for all of our rooms again, and it was a great show.
How was the turnout, the audience wise?
So there's the rub, right? She lost, I mean, come on, she lost a lot of money, unfortunately. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, I was rooting for her to make the make money on this one, or at least break even. I know that's really all her goal is, to break even, and I would imagine that she's not nowhere near, I mean, breaking really? Even, unfortunately.
Summer.
So my guess, Christina, is that I can't imagine, you know, we said this last year, but I can't imagine she'll do another one. If she does, my strong advice would be do not hold it in Miami. This was an extremely expensive venue. The hotels are very expensive. The food is expensive. Everything is expensive. And there's not enough interest. If she held this show in Europe, from all my time now going to Europe and shows in Europe, she holds this in Germany or something, this is a sold out show.
Right.
Sold out. So that's my advice to Jarka. Great show, great promoting. Unfortunately, it didn't make a lot of money. Or didn't,
bummer.
Make even, you know, break even. Yeah. So let's talk about the next story on our list, Ronnie's Master Olympia seminar story retold. And unfortunately, we couldn't video the routine, the seminar. One of the ways that Jarka does make money from this is she sells DVDs. And so we're not able to put this up, but I do want to retell the story. First of all, this was the best seminar that I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot of seminars, and they're usually... to be honest with you, they're usually pretty boring, you know, usually not a lot of new stuff is told, you know, there's not a lot of new information given out usually. I mean, maybe I don't want to say this for questions. Everybody, but generally you don't learn a lot at a seminar,
right,
you know?
Right.
Well, this one, they had everybody up there. I mean, literally all the legends, Lee Haney, Rich Gaspari, Lee Labrada, Ronnie Coleman, I mean, everybody, Sean Ray, all the legends that were at the show were there. Even Lou Ferrigno was up on stage. And they told a lot of really cool stories about the old times that I don't think most people had heard. And Ronnie told a story that I hadn't heard before about Flex Wheeler, about how he feels like he owes Flex Wheeler a lot of his, accomplishments have been due to some advice he got from Flex Wheeler. And I'm not going to do my Ronnie Coleman impression or anything like that, but but basically the gist of the story is that Ronnie was on one of the tours, the European tours, with Flex. And Ronnie's placing eighth, ninth, you know, something like that. And Flex is winning all of them. So Ronnie says to himself, you know, he's sitting in the hotel room in Russia or something like that. And he's sitting by himself. And he's like, you know what? Flex is winning all these shows. I need to become friends with Flex. So he picks up his phone.
Smart man.
Yes, he calls his Flex. Yeah, he calls Flex's room. He says, hey, what's going on? What's going on, brother? How you doing? Flex's like, good. He's like, man, you mind if I come over and hang out? And, what's Flex going to say? He's probably bored, too. So he's like, yeah, sure, come on by. And he came by, and Ronnie, of course, being Ronnie, being totally, you know, blunt, he's like, man, you're winning all these shows. What are you doing? How come you're winning all these shows? And so Flex tells him, well, man, you're on the porch with the little dogs. He's like, you need to come inside the porch with the big dogs. And Ronnie says to Flex, he says, how do I get in the house with the big dogs? And he says, well, what you need to do is you need to take vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. He started telling Ronnie a quote from Ronnie, what vitamins he needs to take.
Okay.
And so Ronnie's like, oh man, I'm not taking any of those vitamins. And so he went home, and Ronnie said he went home as soon as he got back to Texas, and he went about finding these vitamins that Flex talked about. And when he got all the vitamins next year on the tour, he was getting second place to Flex and third place. And Flex was still winning. And then at the end of the tour, he beat Flex in the first contest. And Flex said, you know, to him, you know, what's going on? He said, I'm taking the vitamins, Flex, like you told me. I'm in the house with the big dogs. And I loved the story. It was so
that's
awesome.
That's good. That's good. What did they say? That's what Hogan says. Eat your vitamins.
Eat your vitamins. Yeah.
Oh, eat your vitamins.
I loved the story. Like you know, I'm not doing the story justice because Ronnie, you know, Ronnie is Ronnie, and to hear him talk about the big dogs on the porch, big dogs in the house, and little dogs on the porch, and
little dogs on the porch,
and the vitamins. It was a classic
that's
story.
That's good. You know, like you were saying, a lot of times those seminars are just so like bland. Almost you hear the same stories all the time, especially with the question and answers. You know, if anyone's asking questions, because I've done, you know, my fair share of seminars with Michael as well, and it's usually the same kind of questions. What do you do for training? What about cardio? What do you do for back? What do you do for your lower back? Right. Blah blah blah. But no, to to have the legends up there like that sharing stories. That's what you want to hear. You know, you want to hear those stories and the stuff that no one else has heard before. So good. Glad it went well.
That's all awesome. Right, Christina, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back, and I encourage everybody to go check out the Masters Olympia website. And man, I'll be honest with you, I would purchase the seminar. I think people will love it if they go out there and check that thing out. So we'll be back in just a minute from the commercial break, and we'll get back to the stories.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years' experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom-tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
Quest Bar from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting questproteinbar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out questproteinbar.com now.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop. And also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australia. In bodybuilding.
RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Access Bodybuilding. Christine, let's move right on with our stories. And our next one is the Arnold lineup looking bare. And it really is. It's looking very, very unusual for an Arnold lineup. Wouldn't you agree that usually when you think about the Arnold, you're like, you look at the top six from the Olympia and remove Mr. Olympia because he won't do it. So you got five guys and you're like, who of these five guys are gonna win?
100%. And I think the problem is with this one, usually you hear of a person here, a person there. Well, this list keeps growing. I mean, we originally had Branch Warren sits it out, and they're like, well, you know, Evan is now out, and now Dennis Wolf is now out. Now there's more Nicole Wilkins, Adele. I mean, there's a lot of people now that are, the list keeps growing. That usually doesn't happen.
It makes me start to wonder what the deal is. You know what I mean? Like, what's the deal? I know, you know, I mean, I'm not going to try to get into conspiracy theories here, but what's going on? Like, are the athletes being told that this is not the show to do? I mean, why are so many people dropping out? It's like unbelievable. The Arnold is the second biggest paying show of the year. I mean, athletes are just like anybody else. They're motivated by money and obviously acclaim. There's a lot of, I mean, getting a big check handed to you by Arnold is a big deal in our industry. So what's going on? Why are so many people, what is different about this year, or what's different about contest prep that people can't do two shows? Why can't you do the Olympia and the Arnold?
I have no idea, you know, and originally when I saw the Nicole Wilkins story, we talked about it on the show, it was, you know, so she could make the necessary improvements to come back next year or to get ready for the Olympia. And then, you know, Adela makes the exact same reason. And some of the guys are saying the same thing. And it seems like it's almost like they're being told not to do it, or, you know, it's being suggested to them not to do it, because now there's too many for it to seem like this is just a personal opinion or personal reasoning for doing it. Because I can't imagine all these people wanting to make improvements and sitting out. And that's the reason.
It's very weird. It's strange. I don't want to get too far into the conspiracy theory stuff, but
no, because I don't know. We don't know anything.
No, I'm totally you. I'm not giving any inside information or anything. I don't know, but it is weird. I mean, I do know that at the Arnold Europe, people, the powers that be, were very upset with some of the placings at that show, and that's also run by the Laura Mercer. I mean, I don't know. I love the Arnold shows. They're always put on great, but I'm very disappointed. I got to admit, as a fan, I am going to this show, you know, going to be disappointed in the lineup for the first time that I can ever remember. And this is the 25th anniversary of the Arnold. So you would think that this would be the biggest show of all of them.
You think, but I mean, given the names that are out, I mean, now you have guys like, you know, Cedric McMillan that have the potential to be way up there. There's, yeah. You know, I think I was talking with Mike Stalzar from Flex, and he was even saying, like, Ben Pekulski could maybe win it. I don't think that's going to happen, but you've got guys like Pekulski and Cedric that are actually going to be probably in your top five, and normally they wouldn't be if the lineup was how it's always been.
Well, Ben got fourth last year. He's the only guy in the lineup other than I guess he's the only one, because, look, who won last year? Branch, he's out. Second place last year was who? Was Wolf. Wolf's out. Evan was third. He's out. And then last was fourth was Ben, right?
Yep.
So Ben definitely has a shot. Winning, you know, I talked to Ben the other day to make sure he wasn't out. I texted him and he said, yeah, he's definitely doing it. And I said, well, it's a great year to do it. Because basically, as far as, like, you know, common sense would tell you, or placings would tell you, you should be second behind Dexter. And Ben, of course, being Ben, came back and he said that he is not worried about Dexter. That's no competition.
Of course.
So that's good. That's good. Ben is very confident, and I think that's how you got to be, right? So he's looking at this to win. I mean, I know he's not even considering Cedric, but I guess the smart money, if you were a betting person, it would be between Dexter and Cedric, which is very, very crazy. Dexter could, or probably will, win his fourth Arnold Classic and tie Flex Wheeler.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. Do you think Dexter's going to do it?
Yes.
Legitimately, you don't think he's going to step out and not do the show?
We talked after the Masters Olympia, and he told me 100% definitely he's doing it, that he's already dieting again. He went straight from Masters Olympia to China. So, you know, I'm assuming he's going to finish his China trip off, which would be over very soon, and come right back and be dieting again, you know. And as good as he looked, Dexter Jackson is, to me, Dexter Jackson is one of the best stories of the whole year. That this is a guy who people were pretty much counting out, myself included, who thought, you know, he'd be lucky to make top six at the Olympia. I mean, I made that public. I think you did too. We both thought it was going to be lucky to make top six.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in fourth, and then he looks better than he's ever looked in his entire life, in my opinion, beating his condition and size that he won the Olympia in 2008 when he was 39 years old at 43. It's pretty unbelievable. So it's hard to doubt Dexter Jackson at this point.
I agree with you. I want him to do it. I know we were talking out there, you know, he was supposed to do it last year. And after the Olympia, after Masters Olympia, you know, he just couldn't do it. So, you know, I was thinking maybe he would have a repeat of that. But now knowing all these other guys are out, I mean, man, you have to. That's an amazing paycheck you're just walking right into, because you're guaranteed. I mean, he's guaranteed top three at that point. Guaranteed. No matter how it goes, he's going to get top three.
MD editor-in-chief position open. Now, this is interesting because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were saying this we're reporting this very same story on Access Bodybuilding.
Yeah, it feels like it was really was not long ago at all. Was it this year? Earlier this year?
I think it was 1 year ago or so. I think it was a whole year, but I'm not. I honestly can't say for sure. I don't remember. I could look it up, but I don't think it's that important. So Robbie Durant, originally you had Dave Palumbo and John Romano, and John Romano was the senior editor in chief, and he was fired. And it was replaced by Robbie Durant, who was the science editor. He became the editor-in-chief, the publisher-editor-in-chief has always been Steve Blackman. I think they call the position the senior editor-in-chief or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Robbie Durant left and went to Flex, where he's still at. And then Sean Andros was picked up from Flex as the online editor and brought on as MD's senior editor. And Sean recently left. And we've talked about Sean Andros in the past. He's a pretty amazing story, going from Dave Palumbo's question and answer assistant on the forums, on the MD forums, up into basically the highest position that our industry has available. And so Sean leaves for his own reasons. He decided to leave and is now moving on to, I'm sure he's going to land on his feet wherever he goes, but it leaves this position open again at MD. And it's amazing how much these positions have changed. It went from a position like this is something that doesn't change, like the Flex editor-in-chief, the MD editor-in-chief. These things don't really change. You know, we had Peter McGuff for years, then Alan Donnelly for several years, and then an MD, John Romano, for many, many years. So it's pretty crazy how much these positions seem to be changing.
Are there any, you know, indications to why this new change happened?
Sean decided not to do it anymore. I mean, I'm sure he has his own reasons, but... I mean, for whatever reason, he decided this wasn't what he wanted to do. And, you know, I'm a big believer in following your passion or if you know something is not right, I don't think that he or anybody else should force it. You got to find what you're passionate about doing. And maybe right. He knows there's something else out there for him, you know?
Yeah, you know, my dad had always told me too, you know, when you have a job you love, so it'll never feel like work, you know, and you have to do a job that you love, and if for whatever reason he wasn't enjoying it as much or it wasn't him, he's got to make him happy. So
sure, it's a lot of pressure, you know. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, not that that's Sean's problem, but I know from me writing my column and articles for Muscle Mag, you know, when I had to write the Shrew article, which was 3,000 words, and do my gossip column, which is 3,000 words in 1 month, I felt extremely overwhelmed. Now imagine producing, you know, Sean wasn't just doing muscular development. He was doing RX? Something RX? He's got two other magazines.
Black Man Fitness RX?
Yeah, Fitness RX. And then he has another one. What is it? Male RX or something, right?
Men's RX like or something. Men's RX, maybe?
Yeah. I don't read those two, obviously. But yeah, they have... So he was in charge of all those. And so I can only imagine when you're looking at a deadline like that of getting in all the articles, making sure they're edited, doing his own writing, getting the pages, you know, making sure the pages are set up correctly, getting all the, you know, it just seems like a deadline would loom over. Like if I were having a job, it seems like that would be something that would be stressful for me.
Oh, it's a lot on your plate. It's too much almost. Yeah.
And he was traveling and doing shows. So who knows? We're speculating now, but it is a tough position. And I know that they're looking at other people. You know, a lot of names have been floated. Peter McGuff. I know, Ron Harris, who's their senior writer over there. A lot of names have been floated around, so it'll be interesting to see if they actually fill this position at all. I'm kind of wondering if they'll just absorb it into several other positions and it won't even be around anymore.
There's a lot of companies that are doing that, especially with, you know, just budget cuts happening and with money not being where it used to be. It's kind of a lot of people are taking job descriptions of, you know, a higher level position and just, you know, what am I trying to say?
Absorbing them. That's literally what they do.
Yeah, absorbing it. They're like, you know, putting in, taking each person and giving them, you know, taking five other people, giving them each one of those responsibilities.
Right. Right.
Delegating. That was the word. Damn. Yeah. Delegating. Okay. Shit. Couldn't come up with that one.
So this last story of our week this week is Bros versus Pros Weekend. This was this past week in New Jersey at Diamond Gym, and it was the John Kemper Memorial. Can you hear my baby crying in the background?
Do I hear a little baby Asher? Do I hear a little baby Asher back there?
Baby Asher is going nuts in the background.
I just wanted to point that out in case anyone else was hearing it, wasn't sure what that was. So. Yeah. Continue.
Should I talk over baby Asher, or should I go get Darielle to quiet baby Asher down?
You can keep talking. He sounds like he's quieting down now.
Okay, she might be giving him a bottle. This is reality radio right here, folks.
Reality radio.
Literally, this is reality. So Bros versus Pros weekend, it was really great. John Kemper was a really, really great man who did a lot for bodybuilding. And going to his gym, it was really eye-opening because there's so many people there that had such great things to say about John Kemper, that he was, you know, not just an NPC vice chairman, not just somebody who was an IFBB pro judge, but he sounded like he really touched a lot of people's lives at this gym. He was there, and he was a father figure to a lot of these people that they said that he came up and made a difference in their lives and actively, you know, he wasn't like getting paid to train a lot of these people. He would just go up and help people with their diet or their training just because they were a member of his gym. And
that's nice.
And that was really cool. You know, you don't hear or see a lot of that these days. And this gym was not in a, like, I don't want to say it was in the ghetto, because it certainly wasn't in the ghetto, but it wasn't in a great neighborhood. So I'm sure that his influence and his attention probably helped a lot of these young men a lot. And probably had a big impact on them. And it sure sounded like it, because people came out to support the event because it was a, not just because it was a cool event, because Bros vs. Pros is cool, but because it was the John Kemper Memorial event. So that was really neat. It was really neat.
Good.
And we had a great after party after at Robbie Lopez's club where he spins. He's a DJ there. And I had a lot of fun at the club also. So
who were all the pros again that came out for that?
So we had a lot, actually. You want to hear the ones that competed or just who was there?
The ones who competed specifically.
Okay. So we had we had Brian Yersky and Seth Ferosi. We also had Anthony Champagne, I think you say it, or Anthony. Yep. We call him Neil. Neil. He came out. He actually won the curl contest. He curled 115 pounds 60 times. And
he's not a pro yet, right?
No, he's a pro. He got second place at
second place. Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry, I kept forgetting. Second place in nationals. Yeah,
he lost to Brian Yersky, but right. He did get his pro card. And Yersky looked enormous. He actually pulled his pec after like 5 reps. So I actually won the bet with Dave because we bet who would get more. And Brian looked like he was set to destroy Seth Ferosi, and I was going to lose my $50. But since Brian hurt himself, which, you know, he didn't really end up hurting himself, or else I would be sad. But I won my $50 because he pulled out early.
Nice.
When he actually hurt himself and had to put the weight back, and kind of like he kind of ran off. You know, when you do something like that, you like get away from everybody. And I was like, oh no, because I mean, how horrible would that be if he just turned, got his pro card, and he tore his pec doing Bros versus Pros? I mean, that would have been terrible.
I was going to say, that's one of the worst things that could happen.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. I mean,
no way.
Talk about devastating, right?
Yeah.
The kid, there was a kid who won the bench press contest, 21 years old, 280 pounds. This kid was solid, and he won bench pressing 225 57 times. Very impressive kid. I can't believe he was 21. I mean, this kid was like a very solid 280 at 21 at about, I don't know, what is he, maybe 5'11 or something?
Okay, nice.
Very big, very big kid. The women was crazy. Colette Nelson sweeped the event. 100 reps with 60 pounds on the curls, and I think 59 or 60 reps on bench press with 115.
Nice. I saw that Colette really like
destroyed,
kicked ass and took some names while she was at it.
She destroyed everybody. Yeah, it was literally no contest. So
were there any bros that kind of stood out or did specifically a really good job?
There was one guy. The kid that won the bench press, he was the biggest, most impressive pro. But there was an enormous guy there. I can't remember his name. It was like Sheikh Al-Asali or something like that. And the guy was 6'6 or 6'7, 375 pounds.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was a very impressive, enormous dude. And he played, I think he played pro football or something like that. And Dwayne, who owns Diamond now, is trying to get him into strongman. But he didn't, you know, he just looked like a gigantic guy. I mean, the problem is when you're that big, most people don't train for reps like that. So he did good, but he didn't win.
Well, a lot of people like that, they train for, you know, one rep max. If they're a big guy like that, they're training power.
Absolutely.
Power style. So yeah, that's why.
Yeah, absolutely. He did great though. I mean, he got very close to winning on the curls. I think he got like 56 or something. And
not bad.
No, he did great. And then bench press, he got like 40 something. But it's you know, it's very difficult once you get into those higher reps if you're not actually doing that regularly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Christina, that's it for Access Bodybuilding this week. I think we put together a pretty good show considering we were slim on stories.
Yeah, not bad. You know, like you said, it kind of sucks when it's this time of year, when the off-season is forced upon everyone else. There are no shows. There's nothing. So we don't really rely so much on recapping and previewing stories. You rely mostly on the good gossipy stories. So hopefully there'll be some more of those coming up this off-season for everyone.
Absolutely, Christina. Okay, thank you very much. We will see you back next week. Bye, Christina.
Peace out.
Peace out. Feeling, yeah. Get a feeling that I never had before. No, no, I get a good feeling.